Anyway, I'm not really sure what the topic is. But we'll see. Basically, I have a, you know, people get used to me already. I have a certain topic that I like, which is very variety. And that is, I like, there's a game like a shoots and ladders, right? So those shoots and ladders means that there's, you can, sometimes you can hit something and you can get a big, you know, all the time you go all the way down. And sometimes you can hit the jackpot and go all the way up, right? So I always like that concept of how do you find, in other words, normally what they, all the Sfarim say is that in Ruchnius there's no shortcuts. A little bit, this even he said it today, got by. There's no shortcuts. You're going to become a lamdan. You got to sit and learn day after day, every Rajba, every Taisvis, 50 years, right? But, oh, now we can start. What, you've been running around the whole building?
No, we're in the right place.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, and that guy ran around the whole building, and it's going to get a, right? So the normal Ashkafa that we usually say is that there are no shortcuts in life. You want to be a Lamdan, you want to be a Talmid Chacham, you got to sit and learn day after day, right? No, but it's not that there really are some shortcuts. So that happens to fascinate me. That's if people who know, I talk about, you know, I'm always looking for a shortcut. So I found a new shortcut. I'm not exactly sure if it's the most applicable to most people, Bashir Husham, right now. But I think it's a very good shortcut, and it's something to keep in mind, if not for today, for 10 years from now. Okay, anyway, that's the introduction. But we'll see. There's a famous shmooze. It's one of the most famous shmooze that Rashiva said. It's very well known. I tell the people this is, I think, the first shmooze that I ever thought of on my own. I said it, you know, before I heard Rashiva say it. But it's a very, you know, when I was, whatever, 18, 17, however old I was. There's, on the Parsha of Amalek, it says, Asher korcha baderech, that Amalek made you korcha baderech. Korcha, Rashi says, comes from the word cold. So Rashi says it's a mushel to a boiling hot bathtub that no one was going to jump in because everyone's afraid they're going to get burnt, boiling hot. Comes some bliyah, and he jumps in, and sure enough, he gets burnt. But now that he jumped in, so then other people jump in too. He makes it cold for everyone else. So same thing, Klai Yisrael went out of Mitzrayim. All the Goyim were afraid to start up with Klai Yisrael. They're afraid they're going to get clobbered. Comes along Amalek and he started up. Enoch Inami got clobbered, but now he made it easy for everyone else to do it. So the obvious kasha is what? What's the obvious kasha? If anything, it shouldn't make it easier. It should reinforce the... No one wants to jump into this boiling hot bathtub because you're afraid you're going to get burnt. Now the guy jumps in, and sure enough, he got burnt. So if anything, it should reinforce your desire not to jump in. Why is it now, because the guy jumped in and got burnt, now we're going to do it? Just the opposite. It proved what you were afraid of. Right. Such an obvious question. Even when I was 17, I could think of that. Okay. So the answer that I think the Rashiva said is that people are, it's not just that they're not jumping in because they're afraid of getting burnt. They're not jumping in because it's unheard of. It's not done. No one does such a thing. The moment that someone did it, the fact that they get burnt, okay, I'll be smarter than him. I won't get burnt. Before anyone jumped in, it's not just the fear of being burnt. It's just out of the mind. It's just not done, right? Before there were certain things that just no one would ever do something, such a thing. No one would eat, certain things no one eats. Certain way of dressing, no one would dress that way. Now the first person starts dressing that way, oh no, everyone else is going to dress that way. Because, you know, they broke a taboo. You know, why we have the shootings in schools. Why have shootings in schools? Because one person did shooting in schools. Now, oh. So now everyone else does shooting in schools, right? The terrorists started that way, you know, once you had terrorists, and now we have lots of terrorists. But the first terrorists were the biggest Rishonim, because it wasn't done, was unheard of, and they did it. And now they went ahead and they broke this barrier. There's a mental barrier that we don't, you know, that's why there's so much homosexuality today, because the barrier was broken. A lot of things that there are barriers. What?
The 4-minute mile.
Right, that's right. Anyway, that's yes. So that was the Shmooth. So I believe that the way the Rashiva said it, which is not the way I'm trying to say it as an afkamina, is why it's healthy to lock yourself up in yeshiva. Because there are certain natural inhibitions that people have, which keep us out of trouble. But once we're set in the world, people do crazy things. That seems to be the minig ha'adam. You do crazy things. And therefore, when you get exposed, when you read, and those things make it to the newspapers, because the newspapers love to report something weird, because, you know, if the person got killed in a car accident, it's not going to be reported in the newspaper because, you know, it's not exciting. But if a person went ahead and killed his father and then he grinded him up and ate him as meatballs, so that's exciting, so that would be written up in the newspaper. So when you read these things in the newspaper, it destroys your inhibitions. Right? That was what the Rishiva Shmooth was. Okay. Now, I would like to take it, though, a different way. More like you're saying, your 4-minute mile. This Shmooth is talking about something negative. But what about something positive? So you just said that he said correctly that the same thing works in positive too. If you see someone else doing something, and according to this, even if he failed, but it makes me ready to do it, right? And I think that is what they say, and it wasn't this week's parasha, but maybe last week's parasha, before. There's a famous kasha on the floor that one of the Avram Avinu's 10 nisyonos was Lech Lecha. Okay, it's 2 weeks ago. Lech Lecha was one of the Asara nisyonos. Now, Lot also did Lech Lecha, right? Lot went with Avram. So here's Lot, who's considered a relatively not such a great tzaddik, is doing Lech Lecha just like Avram. So how can you say, well, Avram, such a tzaddik, he passed in the saying of Lech Lecha, so did Lot. So the answer that they give is because Avram did it first. After Avram does it, it's not so hard for Lot to follow. Right? Same thing with the Achnasas Orchim, the amazing Achnasas Orchim that Lot does to the Malachim, you know, in stone. But he's just copying what he saw by Avram Avinu. So when someone else does it, Avram Avinu was the first one who went ahead and did this tremendous Achnasas Orchim. Avram Avinu is the first one who does Lech Lecha. I saw an interesting chidah that says that Yaakov Avinu was the first person who cared about animals, not about worrying about animals, because it says, it's just nothing to do with anything, but just a cute thing. It says that when Yaakov Avinu was traveling right after Dinah, where is this? It says, before Dinah maybe. It says, I can't find it. Oh, here it is. It says, V'yakov nasa sukasa, v'yiven obayis, u'lemikneyu asa sukos. Alkein karashem amokom sukos. So the Chidah asks, why is it so, you know, you name the place because Yaakov made houses for his mikneh. Why don't you name it, you know, that's so unimportant. The main thing is he made houses for his people. So he said, because making houses for his people, everyone did. But till then, like the Arabs, they still leave their animals out in the, they don't make corrals, they just leave them out in the desert. But Yaakov was the first person, Ude Mikneya wasa sukos. That was a big chiddush. Alkein karashem makom sukos. So the he was the first, you know, okay, of making, worrying about animals' feelings. He made houses for animals. Okay, barns. He's the first person who made a barn, so it's in the Torah. That's what the Chidah says. But anyway, the pshat is when a person does, the first person to do a mitzvah, so even if he doesn't succeed, but other people follow. So what does that mean? It means an amazing thing. That if you're the first person to do something, that's my, you know, my ladder. Right? I do something. People, and then, because if I'm the first person to do it, now, I'll give you an example. I mean, Rabbi Chait used to always say this. Rabbi Chait felt that Rav David was Kemat, and I'm saying he had to be the Mamish the first, but he's Kemat the first person to open a real yeshiva in America. Right? There was a other, you may, there might have been other yeshiva, but they weren't for real learning, whether they were maybe superficial more. I wasn't there, I can't tell you. I don't want to get into history, so I'm going to start arguing. But that's what he said, that Rav David in 1927, when he started in Tzar V'Das, there was no concept then in America of having a real yeshiva, just maybe certain superficial learning quickly for a year or so. And Rav David went ahead and fought for this concept of having a real yeshiva. That's why he got booted out of Tzar V'Das, because they didn't want that. And he ended up making his own yeshiva in 33. So in Rabbi Chait's version of history, which regretfully no one else believes in, you know, Rav David gets credit for all the Torah in America. Right? Because he was the first one. He started it. Everybody else copied him. Okay? If you're the first person. Now, okay, stop, move. But you go a different example. The first person who opened the Baal Tshuva Yeshiva. Right? I don't really know who was the first person who opened the Baal Tshuva Yeshiva in the world. I don't know. But it's very likely, I would not be surprised if the first person who opened the Baal Tshuva Yeshiva did not succeed. And it was a failure. I don't know. I always assume that that's what happened, because the people I think I know who opened it, one of the early ones, they did not really succeed too much. But now we have Or Sameach and Eish HaTorah, which are very, very successful. But I don't think they were the first ones. So they, now I'm not taking away from them their tremendous schusim, but to some extent, the person who might have opened the first one, who might feel, oh yeah, I was a failure, right? The first person who opened the first branch of Chavetz Chaim, right? Where was the first branch in Chavetz Chaim? What? No. No.
Forest
Hills? No. Forest Hills is not a branch.
Dallas?
No. Arizona? You guys don't know anything. What, well, the first branch?
Montreal.
Oh. Montreal was the first branch. Right? And then it folded.
That's where Rabbi Grumman came from?
Not exactly. Rabbi Grumman was an elementary school then. He said that because his father was a Rav in Montreal and he met the yeshiva there. So when he came to Queens, that was one of the reasons why he decided to send his son to Chavetz Chaim, because he liked the guys.
It didn't fail.
Okay. I mean, it didn't fail. There were certain people that came from the yeshiva, including Dr. Pegida, who came from Montreal, from the Montreal branch, why he came to yeshiva, because he was mushpa from he started in Montreal. So there were people that came. But basically, it lasted for a few years, and then it folded, right? So the first branch, so you say, well, you know, and then, okay, then there was Rochester, or then Israel, okay, Israel. Then there was Rochester, and then there was New Haven, which folded. But you could say, I really do think, you could, these people get a lot of the credit for a lot of the success, because they went ahead and they were the pioneers that said, we can do it. And even if they didn't succeed, you know, there's sometimes you do something and you don't succeed, you think you're a failure. Look at this parsha. This guy jumped into the burning hot bathtub and he didn't succeed, right? He's a failure. But all the other people that jumped in is because of him. Amalek tried to start up a Klai Yisrael and they didn't succeed. But all the other anti-Semites, right, that's what Rashi says, all the anti-Semites and Sof Kol HaDeiros, they're all blamed on Amalek because they brought it about. So if I go ahead and I try and do a mitzvah, even if I don't succeed, right, so there are many, many applications, right? I'm the first, I started an Avos Habanim in my little city. Now, everyone does an Avos Habanim. Right? I started a yeshiva ben azmanim. I started, but it could be much smaller. I was the first guy who learned in the yeshiva during lunch break. It also would be, right? No one learns in the yeshiva during lunch. The Beis Medrash is empty. No one learns here. Now, you don't learn. Well, lunch break is not for learning. Now, I'm the first guy who breaks the, the taboo, and I learn during the Beis Medrash and lunch break. Now, once I start learning, maybe other people start learning. And then, even after I leave the yeshiva, this right, and next year, someone else, continue. It could be. I'm not saying it's mukhruch. Maybe they'll stop, and then someone has to restart again. But it's possible that you could go ahead in some simple way. Like you're saying, it was a big deal, so I learned during lunch. No, it's not a big deal you learned during lunch. If you're the first person to learn during lunch, you went ahead and you might have, in 100 years from now, there'll be a guy learning till lunch and be given your credit. It's possible. I'm not guaranteeing it. it's not mukhlo. But it's possible. It's very possible. There are many things like that you can, a person can go ahead and do something, and once you did it, you make a group and working on Cheshbon HaNefesh. Now other people, that sounds great. I want to do that, right? You make a I want to take Miami was happened to be the first branch and had a Summersman, just for the record. First, except for Israel, and Israel was considering you're in Israel. You're not going to come back in summer. So now every branch has a Summersman. Right, so in a certain sense, I think we can take credit that Milwaukee Summersman, Los Angeles Summersman, the Boca Summersman. I'm taking credit, because we started it. They didn't have to. They didn't start it. Now, would they have started themselves? I don't know. Maybe yes, maybe not. But the nicer there's, the first person who wrote the first English book.
I was saying trendsetting.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. Yeah, Rabbi Victor Miller wrote the first, when I was young, and he wrote the first really book in English of, Jewish, so now all, comes along Arts Girls. Arts Girls didn't start it. Rabbi Victor Miller started it. Or, Marcus Lehman, is that his name? Anyone know Marcus Lehman? He started the Jewish stories in novels. There were people, there was someone started, and then Baruch Shade started many things. He's a very creative person, right? He didn't write the first book, but he started a certain type of book. He took from the Geisha world a certain type of book, right? A picture book, and he made it into the Jewish world. Now you have all these, there's like a million, but there are many, many, right? Right. What was his book? The
Right.
And then now there are a lot of books like that, which are picture books with. But he was the first one that did that. There were people that were the first one that made Jewish music. Now, I don't know, is that a good or bad? I don't know, you can argue. But if you assume it's good, right? So then the first person, you shouldn't, just for the record, I want to make, but the one of the earliest, I'm not really a history in Jewish music, but the rabbi's sons, there was before, the rabbi's sons were not the first at all. Karpach was before the rabbi's sons, way before. And there was Pirchei, with Yossi Sonoblik was before. But there was the rabbis, was I think one of the first. No one knows that. The rabbi's sons, which were the group of Chafetz Chaim, of the Baruch Shein and Leibel Sharfman, and I know the third one is, I don't remember, were sons of the rabbis who made the first record in like the 1940s. So that's why they made a record called The Rabbis. And then they made a rabbi's son. So they could be blamed, for good or for bad, for, So It is a tricky thing because you could start something and it's no good. The Reshiva was very, very big that he did not want innovations. So that's why it's very tricky. A guy says, oh, this is a great idea. I'm going to start something new. I'm going to start a new style of learning. Right? I'm going to start a new style, new kind of yeshiva that we're going to, you know, I don't know what, we're going to, you know, we're going to learn half day and then play basketball half day. That's a great idea. A half day basketball, half day yeshiva. I'm gonna start a new type of learning. You know, they have in Israel. First you learn all Chumash and then all Navi and then all Mishnayos, a new system. So we said the yeshiva didn't like that. You know, we have a Messiah. So it's very tricky. There are certain innovations, and you say that those are they go against the Messiah. But there are certain innovations that don't go against the Messiah, right? Having a summer's mount does not go against the Messiah, right? There's writing an English book is not going against the Messiah. There are certain things that you have to figure out. You know, you're going to have an innovation that I'm going to have a yeshiva where the guys are going to do something. You know, certain things could be against the Messiah. We don't hold of that. You know. That's against the Messiah. But certain things are not against Messiah. Reshiva, even though he used to say he was against innovations, Reshiva was like about the first yeshiva ever went to Eretz Yisrael. Like, when did they go to Eretz Yisrael the first time? 63. Right? That was, and in 63 he came out, no one, even people, average people didn't go to Eretz Yisrael yet in 63. I mean, I don't know if my parents ever went to Israel by 63. I don't know. Or maybe they did around that, but it was unusual. I remember as a kid, when a person would go to Israel, see people now today, it was like such a big deal. And a person, they would come back with Israeli chocolate and Israeli money, and they would give it out. I was like, wow. It wasn't such a common thing for people to go travel, airplanes, whatever. So the Reshiva was very, as much as Reshiva said, he wasn't innovative, he was very innovative. It says in the book All for the Boss, I still remember that it had there Mr. Herman, when one of his kids got married, I don't know which one it was. For one of it was Rav Scheinberg, I don't know. You know, his daughter married Rav Scheinberg. But he had said, but the prisoner on All for the Boss, the different daughter. So she writes there, I remember that he had this Einfeld that at weddings people don't bench. Why don't they bench? Because people don't know Birchas HaMazon by heart. So he was the first one to print up benches for weddings. He made benches. Today it's like standard. You know, that you have to have a benches at the wedding. You know, but someone started it, right? He started it. So all the people that are benching today at a wedding and a bar mitzvah, because there are benches, is to his credit, because he was the one that had that Einfau. He thought of this chap. Okay. What made me think of this is, I don't want to give more details, but I was at a certain place within this week, and there were some yeshiva guys, not necessarily from this yeshiva, but they're Hashav yeshiva guys, and they were talking. Now, I don't really know what they were talking about. I mean, I know a little bit. There's some TV show, Sharks. I don't know, Shark?
Shark Tank.
Yeah. So Shark, apparently, that well, you come up with some invention, mm-hmm. and then you say, and then they want to buy it. So the easy shipping guy, they wrote to him, and I thought of this brilliant invention. I'm going to sell it. I'm going to make so much money. And they say, oh, I have this invention. They were all... I assume they're being totally unrealistic because, you know, their inventions are not going to, I assume, very good thing. But I was inspired by here, they're being creative, right? They're thinking of Einfalls. Oh, I can make a better cell phone. I can make a better car. I can figure out an invention how to make a fruit processor work better, you know. I can, and each one thinking of these hops, and oh, I'm going to sell it, and I make so much money. So why are you wasting your brain to figure out how to make a better cell phone? You should figure out how to make a better Tysis, right, so to speak. How to make a better you know, how to make a better, you know, how to do, make something, one of the mitzvahs better. If you could come up with a chav, you know, this guy's thinking, this is, you know, okay, maybe he's doing recreation, I don't know, but this is what he's daydreaming about. He's going to come up with some invention, and then, you know how it's going to get better, this, and then he's going to sell it, and it's going to be gavaldic. He'll sell it at Walgreens. They already had the price for it. They had it all worked out, you know, $9.99, and, you know, so sell a few hundred thousand and make millions of dollars, you know. So the you could go ahead, instead of thinking like that, you should think, listen, I'm a creative person. I'm not going to do something against the Messiah, but within the Messiah, there's so much room. Like there's a guy who started Deer Shoe, right? It's a good thing. He made a Deer Shoe Mission, right? They're good things. There are people who started something, and their creativity, and then it caught on. Person started Torah Anytime, right? I don't know whether that's good or no good, you know, but in Pashas, that's good. Because once there, you know, there are people that started tape libraries. There are so many creative ideas out there, and you can be a part of that too. So that's my thing. You know, it's an opportunity. As I say, it's my shoots and ladders. If we can come up with some creative, it doesn't have to be today. It's not a Musar Vad for today. It's a Musar Vad for life. To have your minds open to do something a little different than anybody else did within the Messiah, right? It's not against the Messiah. You know, you write a Chidush Elay, right? That's not against the Messiah, but it's different. I take credit for Rabbi Schmidman's Berakas David. Because he only did the Berakas David after I did the Chidush Aleph. Okay, so you're a copycat, you know, right? I'm serious. I'm not taking away his credit, but it's, you know, you the first, you know, you start. So you have to, a person have to go ahead and try and think in his life, not to lock yourself in. To go through life just the same as everyone else. You look for opportunities, right? We have these people that go ahead and incentives to learn Chafetz Chaim Seder, right? Now, I don't know who started that, but someone started that. You know, when did it start? Where did it start? Someone started that. Now they have, and I can allow the branches to have that, right? It's pretty common, no? I think they have it in Queens too when we were there, no? There was.
I thought that's where it started.
What? That's where it started. Okay, so someone started there. So someone added, and then we have it here, and then we have it in other branches. There are things that somebody wasn't, you don't have to be the Gadol Hador to start something, right? You go ahead and you start an incentive program, and if it's a good program, and it catches on, and then it catches on to one yeshiva and then to another yeshiva, and it's all in your credit. And it could be a lot of things, you know. Now, so, and even if it doesn't catch on, but then you get schar machshava tayva mistar from Isa, right? So that even, you know, that even that worked. So I'm doing something. I'm hoping it catches on, and you know, and then I'm gonna change the, you know, I don't mean dramatically, but I'm gonna make some improvement, and there's gonna be, and okay. If it doesn't catch on, so I tried. I did machshava. I didn't even do it more than machshava. I tried to do something. Okay, it didn't catch on. We don't believe that if a person tries and doesn't succeed, it's a failure. You get schar for, you know, that machshava time is tarav demaisa. Okay, anyway, that was my point. I had this einfau, that why are these guys thinking, not shark, what's it called? No, the shark. Shark Tank.
They made a Jewish one also.
What?
They made a Jewish one.
There is a Jewish one?
Yeah, for business.
Oh. Okay. Same. There is one in business?
No, they're not nearly worth as much as the actual shark people.
Oh. Okay, but why we have to think that? We should be thinking of Einfals. How I can go ahead and be creative in mitzvahs. Okay. Shekayach.